Welcome to our podcast. I am Linda Messer. My husband Ron and I invite you to join us in our weekly broadcast of A New Voice of Freedom. Welcome to Season 5 of A New Voice of Freedom, written by Ronald Keith Messer. This podcast is taken from a series of books written under the banner In Defense of Christianity. Podcast 41, Argument for the Existence of God, Episode 34, is entitled Science and Faith.
A scientist may be an atheist or a theist, but true science should be neither. Science deals with the how. Religion deals with the why. Both atheists and theists may make a great scientist. The reason is very simple. All things are governed by a complete set of laws, and laws are subject to the scientific method. Laws obey the principle of causality, given predictability. Predictability is the only true validation of science. Without predictability, every theory is reduced to opinion. The holy grail of physics, meaning science, is to prove that all laws are connected. Connecting the four forces of nature, the strong nuclear force, the weak nuclear force, gravity, and the electromagnetic force, is the holy grail that scientists seek. It is a noble goal and is reachable. The conflict between science and religion arises when scientists presume they alone can explain the why, and theists presume they alone can explain the how. Science always flounders when it enters into the realm of the why. Religion always flounders when it denies the truths of scientific law. They both become idol worshippers. Religion invents a God who is arbitrary. Science invents gods who work miracles such as happy accidents, startling coincidence, improbable chance, or serendipity of circumstances. They worship false gods who are presented as meaningless substitutes to explain the unknown. They will claim almost anything to avoid admitting to cosmic ignorance. It is hubris in its true form. They even become convinced that their gods are true gods, even though they explain nothing. Science has created elastic gods that stretch into their theories. Let me illustrate this with an example that I have used before and will undoubtedly use again, for it perfectly demonstrates the point. I make no secret that one of my favorite science writers is Stephen Hawking. A celebrated genius, he became the modern spokesman for science and atheism. In The Grand Design, Mr. Hawking said,
"Over the centuries, many, including Aristotle, believed that the universe must have always existed in order to avoid the issue of how it was set up. Others believed the universe had a beginning and used it as an argument for the existence of God. The realization that time behaves like space presents a new alternative. It removes the age-old objection to the universe having a beginning, but also means that the beginning of the universe was governed by the laws of science and does not need to be set in motion by some god."
The clever statement condemns itself. It begs the question, where do laws come from? First of all, Hawking must be right on one point or the universe makes no sense. The point he made is this: the beginning of the universe was governed by the laws of science. Everything created by God is governed by law, and higher laws govern lower laws in an unbroken chain. However, I must take issue with the phrase, the laws of science. Science has never created a law and never will. Law, like truth, can be discovered but not created, certainly not by science. Strictly speaking, they are not laws of science. They are laws of God discovered by science. The paradox is this: law came first, creation second. For the discoveries of science, however, creation came first, that which can be observed, and law came second, that which can be inferred. Let me be bold in saying that the most advanced science hasn't even begun to understand law, and it never will. It is beyond the scientific method. Part of scientific heresy is to think they can understand the origins of things. The greatest question facing science is first cause. Science will never discover first cause. It doesn't have the tools. It will never have the tools, for everything is first created spiritually. Until they have a tool refined enough to see a spirit or spirit matter, which contains life, they will never understand the origins of things, for all things are first spiritual. That is a law as immutable as any other law science claims to understand. That is only in the realm of revealed truth, which is the purview of religion and faith and the supernatural. There is a second law that science must grapple with. That law is self-existence. What self exists and what must be created? Science stumbled upon one of the greatest laws regarding self-existence when it discovered the first law of thermodynamics. The first law of thermodynamics states that matter and energy can change forms, but cannot be created or destroyed. The first law of thermodynamics is as close as science has ever gotten to understanding the origins of things. From the first law of thermodynamics, other laws can be inferred, but never proven in a scientific laboratory. One law is that, as with matter and energy, life or intelligence or consciousness, which is also made of matter, cannot be created or destroyed. The existence of God rests entirely upon that law being true. However, in this mortal world governed by entropy, where death comes to all mortal matter, the idea of self-existent intelligence can only remain in the realm of faith or religious belief. From a religious perspective, if life existed before birth, it is easy to believe that life continues to exist after death. Only things made of temporal matter can die. In religion, we must distinguish between temporal death and spiritual death. Strictly speaking, of course, the spirit can never die. Temporal death is the separation of the body and the spirit. After death of the body, the spirit lives on. The body in its mortal state is a biological machine that gives flesh to the yearnings of the spirit. Only the spirit has life, consciousness, free will, and immortality. Spiritual death is the separation of man from God. Physical death and spiritual death are a product of the fall. Strictly speaking, the spirit cannot die as mortals think of death. However, it can die in terms of light and truth. Without death, time has no meaning. We are governed by a celestial clock, which gives the illusion of time, and by entropy, which gives the illusion of death. The scientific world views faith in the following terms. As long as we do not credit natural laws to a supernatural being, then we accept them as necessary powers and apply all our math, science, technology, and inductive reasoning to understanding those natural laws. For science, faith in God is unnecessary. If a theory does not obey the predictions of science, then it is rejected, and no one has a crisis of faith. It is only when fear, uncertainty, crisis, doubt, hope, and paradox are introduced that faith, prayer, worship, and belief in a supernatural being become necessary. However, in attacking science, I must also point out that misguided religious leaders are equally culpable in the war between science and religion. The war was caused by errors on both sides. Some religious leaders claim to be prophetic scientists, speaking both for religion and science. And some scientists claim to be scientific prophets, speaking for both science and religion. Galileo, for example, was put under house arrest by Pope Urban VIII until his death for his scientific discoveries. That occurs when faith is based on fear and enforced by power.
Isaiah 29:13. Wherefore the Lord said, Forasmuch as this people draw near unto me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fears toward me is taught by the precepts of men.
Christians should know better. Faith should be based on love, and love casts out fear.
1 John 4:15-19. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us.
The so-called enlightenment removed fear from nature by bringing a better understanding of its laws. Consequences were no longer attributed to an arbitrary God, but to natural laws. Atheism in the Christian world is largely a product of the rejection of the supernatural and total reliance on the empirical world. They simplify their world by rejecting God and the supernatural. On the other hand, some Christians who lost sight of the God described above turned God into a monster. When knowledge of the true character of God was lost, religious superstition created a God of such fearsome wrath and arbitrary penalties that man lived in constant fear. As a better understanding of God's laws emerged, that false fear naturally dissipated. Superstition was replaced with enlightenment, and a perfectly orderly universe began to appear. However, unwilling to exercise faith, rather than change their incorrect perceptions of God and see him as a God of order, some rejected the idea of God entirely, shifted their allegiance to science, and declared that their old idol was dead. Faith based on superstition and fear is artificial, and when fear is removed, false faith, like the sea fog, dissipates. However, the crisis of faith or the clash between science and religion did not occur with the emergence of science. That is merely a post hoc argument, an illusion of ignorance. The crisis of religion occurred when men lost faith in the love of God and listened to strident voices rather than to their own hearts. The emergence of science merely revealed how far we had strayed from the true God. The moment that love was replaced with fear, superstition, fanaticism, crusades, and inquisitions, then the chains of bondage began to rattle and the fires of hell began to heat up. In the Dark Ages, God created heaven. Dante created hell. Faith can thrive in uncertainty. However, faith cannot thrive in ignorance, superstition, and fear. No one has ever abandoned his true faith because of true science. No one abandons truth for truth invites more truth. Those who claimed they abandoned faith in God and replaced it with faith in science had actually abandoned their faith long ago and used science as a substitute. Science that actively attacks faith in God and denies miracles is no better than religion that actively attacks faith in science and denies facts. Both should seek for truth. It is not surprising that for some, true science replaced old religion. For old religion had become little more than an irrational science based on superstition and fear. It attempted to explain the seemingly irrational laws of nature and tied nature's arbitrary actions to God's behavior, making God appear irrational. The calamities of nature were perceived as erratic and arbitrary. Therefore, the punishment of God was perceived as erratic and arbitrary. And when the laws of nature became more understood, science offered more logical explanations than religion. Therefore, some shifted their superstition from religion to science. Science became nothing more than a religious reformation, and religion became no more than a scientific reformation. All truth is compatible, scientific and religious. God is a God of order, and order allows man access to truth. Behind every law is intelligent design, and intelligent design means God.
Thank you for listening. Watch for our next podcast.